Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading text 10, and also we'll read 11 from Canto 4, Chapter 3. Tatra svasreme manuparta sammita. Matra svasre klinadiyam ca mataram. Drakshe chirokanta mana maharshibhir. Uniyamanam cha madhadvajatvajam. Torah. Tatra svasrirme nanu bharta samhita. Matrisvasri klinadiyam cha mataram. Rakshe chirokanta mana maharshibhir. Uniyamanam cha mridandvara dvajam. Tatra, there. What was that sound? Okay. Swasri, own sisters. Me, my. Nanu, surely. Bhatra samhita, along with their husbands. Matra swasrihi, the sisters of my mother. Klinadiyam, affectionate. Cha, and. Mataram, mother. Drakshe, I shall see. Chira utkantana, chira utkantamana. Being very anxious for a long time. Maharishabhihi, the great sages. Uniyamanam, being raised. Cha, and. Mrida, O Shiva. Advara, sacrifice. Dvajam, flags. Translation, my sisters, my mother's sisters and their husbands and other affectionate relatives must be assembled there. So, if I go, I should be able to see them and I should be able to see the flapping flags and the performance of the sacrifice by the great sages. For these reasons, my dear husband, I am very much anxious to go. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated before, the tension between the father-in-law and son-in-law persisted for a considerable time. Sati, therefore, had not gone to her father's home for a long while. Thus, she was very anxious to go to her father's house, particularly because, on that occasion, her sisters and their husbands and her mother's sisters would be there. As is natural for a woman, she wanted to dress equally to her other sisters and also be accompanied by her husband. She did not, of course, want to go alone. I'm going to read the next verse. Translation, this manifested cosmos is a wonderful creation of the interaction of the three material modes, or the external energy of the Supreme Lord. This truth is fully known to you. Yet I, am but a poor woman, and, as you know, I am not conversant with the truth. Therefore I wish to see my birthplace once more. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Dakshayani Sati knew very well that her husband, Lord Shiva, was not very interested in the glaring manifestations of the material world, which is caused by the interaction of the three modes of nature. Therefore, she addressed her husband as Aja, which refers to one who has transcended the bonds of birth and death, or one who has realized his eternal position. She stated, quote, "She who says that she's not well conversant in the truth," stated, "the illusion of accepting the perverted reflection, the material or cosmic manifestation, to be real, is not present in you because you are self-realized. For you, the attraction of social life and the consideration that someone is father, someone is mother, someone is sister, which are all illusory relationships, is already over. But because I am a poor woman, I am not so advanced in transcendental realization. Therefore, naturally, these appear to me as real." Unquote. Only less intelligent persons accept this perverted reflection of the spiritual world to be real. Those who are under the spell of the external energy accept this manifestation to be fact, whereas those who are advanced in spiritual realization know that it is illusion. Actual reality is elsewhere in the spiritual world. Quote, "But, as far as I am concerned," Sati said, "I do not have much knowledge about self-realization. I am poor because I do not know the actual facts. I am attracted by my birthplace, and I want to see it." Unquote. One who has attraction for his birthplace, his body, or for other items mentioned in the Bhagavatam, for such items mentioned in the Bhagavatam, is considered to be like an ass or a cow. Sati might have heard all this many times from her husband, Lord Shiva. But because she was a woman, Yoshit, she was hankering after the same material objects of affection. The word Yoshit means one who is enjoyed. Therefore, woman is called Yoshit. In spiritual advancement, association with Yoshit is always restricted, because if one is like a play doll in the hands of a Yoshit, then all his spiritual advancement is at once stopped. It is said, quote, "Those who are just like playthings in the hands of a woman," quoting Yoshit Krida Mrigeshu, "cannot make any advancement in spiritual right realization." Unquote. End of purport. Hope our ladies aren't offended by this purport here. Hare Krishna. This sounds like a classic Hridaya Dor Balyam, just as Krishna uses this term in Bhagavad Gita in relation to Arjuna, who he knows the progressive purpose of life, and Krishna knows that he knows that, and yet he's reluctant or hesitating, even arguing against performing that which leads to the progressive value of life in favor of identification with the body and relations of the body, and that becomes reality or what's important to him, and he wants to act on that platform, although he knows differently. So it's not only that a frail woman might have that same propensity. Arjuna had that propensity, at least during the beginning parts of the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna characterized it as Hridaya Dorbalyam. Bala means strength, and Dorbalyam is the absence of strength or the weakened condition of strength. Hridaya Dorbalyam, of heart. So when we know what to do, but we just don't do it. This is Hridaya Dorbalyam, and it's one of the, in Harinam Chintamani, written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's indicated as one of the sources of anarthas, and the purpose of chanting, or what to achieve the full effect of chanting, one must go beyond Hridaya Dorbalyam, the tendency to not do that which we know we should do. So to go from anishtita to nishta stage of bhakti, one has to overcome that. Similarly, and it's expressed in a different way, but it's a same message expressed in a different way. One of the qualities of unsteady bhakti is that one is unable to fulfill one's vow. One knows what one should do, one contemplates it, one takes a vow. I must improve my life and devotion and by doing this thing, and we don't do it. Or the other, something that I should not be doing that is an obstruction in my spiritual life, and we've considered it carefully, we make some determination that we should do away with this unwanted thing, and we continue doing the unwanted thing. It's a stage of unsteadiness in bhakti. And as the saying goes, misery loves company. You heard that saying before? The person that's very sad, they're comforted by another person that's also sad. Or they look at another person and say, it's not so bad, I'm sad, but they're also sad, so it's okay. We'll go be miserable together. Misery loves company. So if one finds oneself in that position where they're that particular stage of unsteadiness in bhakti, don't worry. There's lots of others in the same position. Misery loves company. It's a standard stage to come to the stage of nishtha. We have to overcome that stage. So not exactly that we would say sati is in the anishtita bhakti stage. She just has to like make a little more advancement. We're not saying that. But she's acknowledging, nonetheless, she has this weakness. She knows better. She's, as Prabhupada said, she has probably heard this many, 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 many times from her husband. My dear wife Sati, this material world is illusory. And we don't place value in those things that are illusory, do we? We place value in those things that are eternal. Let's get on the eternal platform. And She's heard it many, many times. She knows what it is. She's saying it back to him. This manifested cosmos is a wonderful creation of the interaction of the three material modes or external energy of the Lord. This truth is fully known by you. It's known by her. She just said it. But I am also but a poor woman, and as you know, I am not conversant with the truth, although she just said it. So there's a difference between being able to say it and coming to that platform where one can execute, in our case, execute the duties of life on that platform. And failing to do so, this weakness of heart, or the influence of ignorance, it causes suffering. It causes wrong choices. Even we may be a good person, we can make wrong choices because of weaknesses like this, where that which is on the bodily platform becomes more important to us than the transcendental platform, even though we know better. So she's taking shelter of a good excuse. I'm just a poor woman. What can I do? I want to go. And we can also take shelter of some poor excuse that says whatever it is. There's a biblical saying, or at least a Christian saying, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You've heard that one before? Probably in some other language you've heard it. Some other way of saying the same thing. To become a devotee, one has to be very strong. There is this argument that says, to become a devotee, you have to be sentimental and weak. Because only people that are sentimental and weak would go for the things that you folks go for. But it's actually the opposite. The current of trends in the world is going the opposite direction of taking shelter of sat. So one's intelligence has to be very strong to discriminate between reality and illusion, or truth and illusion, and to be very determined, with great dridhavrata, great determination, to stay on that platform of transcendence and a great submission unto Krishna, to receive the strength, bala, spiritual strength, to stay in that position. So, stronger intelligence and great quality to stay fixed and progress steadily on a spiritual path. We can't be a weak person and stay steady on the path of spiritual life. Prabhupada is not hammering on this, but he is pointing it out, that attraction for the social nuances of family, friendship, and love, sometimes he really hammers on that one. But here is just pointing it out, that the happiness of social interaction, this is my sister, that's my sister's husband, this is my mother, these are my mother's sisters, these are my mother's sister's husbands, I'd like to go see them, I'd like to dress like they're dressing, etc. That's this particular frame, but you know, it's not reality. They may be nice spirit souls that somehow have been brought together by some arrangement, but its meaning has no more meaning in Bhagavatam examples than clumps of seaweed that get churned by the waves, and then those clumps of seaweed by the churning of the waves come together and they entangle the seaweed with other seaweed, and for some time it's entangled seaweed. And then the same waves pull the seaweed apart. Oh, my relative is gone. That relation is illusory, or it's not sat, it's not eternal. There is something, connection-wise, karmic-wise, and all of the complex features of why clumps of seaweed might come together, or souls might come together as family members. But there's no deep meaning to it. And those that are on the platform of Lord Shiva or hear submissively from Lord Shiva know it to be a fact. And Sati knows it to be a fact, although she's saying, I don't know. She knows, she's saying it. But her weakness of heart is not enabling her to stay on that platform. And specifically mentioned in the list of things of what she wants to do, she wants to see her birthplace. And according to the verse that Prabhupada is referring to, Bhagavatam verse, that those who consider their place of birth to be worshipable, it's just, you know, connecting the body to where the body made its appearance, that identifying the self as the body, they're no better than a cow or an ass. That's not too complimentary. I mean, cows are nice, but they're not self-realized. At least most of them aren't. And no better than an animal. In other words, so what, to come to the human platform, from apart from the animal platform, is the distinction is self-realization. And acting on that platform, and striving by acting on that platform to come to the full realization of the self. It needs to be governed by your interacting under the principles of transcendence towards self-realization. But she's over in this other position. It's a weakness. She would like to be with her father and relatives, and it's been a long time, because she knows there's this tension between her husband and her father. So she's, you know, been peaceful about it. I'll stay by the side of my husband. But here's this big festival with the, she wants to see the flags flapping in the breeze, and see the yajna performed by the maharishis, the great sages that are performing the yajna, and all of the other things that she stated she wants to do, that the social attraction is deluding her better sense. I mean, even politically, what to speak of spiritually. It's not a good plan. It's nothing to do with transcendence, which her husband, by being in the company of Lord Shiva, she's heading for perfection. But she's drawn by this lower nature. So that's misfortune. Now, that where Prabhupada does get heavy is at the close of the purport, where he says, one who is the plaything of such a person, their spiritual progress will be destroyed. So don't be a plaything of such a person. Now, in transcendence, in practice of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada, I said it yesterday, but I'll repeat it again today, These things apply for those, particularly for practicing devotees, for those who are devoid of Krishna consciousness. And the same things do not apply for those who are very seriously applying Krishna consciousness. But those that are seriously applying Krishna consciousness should be aware of that lower tendency and not fall prey to that lower tendency. It's not like, you know, what's so the misinterpretation and misapplication is be a macho man and, you know, tell your wife off all the time because, you know, you're just a yoshit and I'm not going to listen to anything you say. I read Prabhupada's purport. But in relation between husband and wife, they're both the wife and the husband should be well aware of the dangers of the frailty of simply falling prey to attraction for the temporary and acting on the platform of attraction for the temporary together. So that we can have harmony in our marriage, we'll go down the path of attraction for the temporary and get clobbered by the material energy. We don't do that. Because we're being guided by this wisdom that's coming to us from Srimad Bhagavatam, how to not fall prey to attraction for enjoying illusion together. So it's a little special or like enigmatic that even the very nature of a husband-wife relation, you know, what's that? Who's my husband and who's my wife? What's the relation? It's not eternal. It's a temporary arrangement to assist one another to get to reality. And then there's roles that one plays in this position, that position, to get to reality together. So it's when religiously undergone, when guided by theistic conduct and playing the part in this relationship that I'm to play, without detailing what that means, but following that properly, then together we can progress on the path of God realization and go back to Godhead. Stay in the middle of the road. It's a path that when traversed carefully, following the standards and guidelines of the scripture, it's a great asset for one who needs to go beyond the bodily conception into the spiritual conception, if it's taken up properly. On the other hand, so it's a great fortress or it's a blind well, depending upon how one addresses oneself to the situation. Both metaphors are used in the Bhagavatam. One has to be very careful. And this is one area of being very careful that's being brought out in 4th Canto, Chapter 3 of the Bhagavatam. And the consequences are serious. So one should be alert. What's the message that in man-woman dealings need to be attended to? Okay. Any questions or comments? Yes. She's in charge of the place and she's bewildered. That occurred to me. Better watch out. Even the person in charge of this place is a little bit bewildered. Like that. Well, what's her crowning quality? Her crowning quality is her fidelity to Lord Shiva. She is, after all, his energy. And she does, after all, have complete fidelity to her position of serving him. I guess, you know, another way of saying the same thing is that the flip side is it's not automatic. It's not machine. Okay, there's creation and there's the creator and then there's the energy of creation and it all just like it's a machine. It's personal. So Lord Shiva has a certain role within creation and he has his energy and she has her frailty. In times, there are times when she doesn't have any frailty at all. But this is a frailty time. Because it's his energy, you know, he could. It's a personal relationship. At the same time, it's his energy, so he could do however he wants to do. It's his energy, and she'll follow, because she's his energy. But this other is also being allowed, and the consequences are also being allowed, and Daksha gets clobbered, etc. You know, it's another way of checking the tendency of a Daksha-like personality, the pride and egotism of a Daksha-like personality. How do you deal with Daksha-like personalities if you're Lord Shiva? No, he's making a decision. And his wife is part of that decision. Yes. It's transcendental. It's not worldly at all. It's transcendental. And, you know, you could say the other way around. How do you explain Lord Chaitanya's, like, not having affection for his dear wife? If he has transcendental affection for his mother, why not transcendental affection for his dear wife? She's his consort. And it's a lila. It's separation. You know, how can Ram send Sita after all, she already proved to the world, because some guy over there is saying, blah, blah, blah. Okay, go off to the forest. But I won't even tell you, he did it by trickery. Lila. It's affection. So his affection for his mother is, it's her affection for him. He has that, reciprocates. The best lesson is Queen Kunti. Please remove the material portion of my affection and leave the transcendental portion of my affection. Because we're not Lord Chaitanya. And our mother is not Mother Sachi. So there's the religious side and there's the transcendental side. So, depending upon an individual, which is the appropriate way to advise an individual according to their capacity to receive advice. But the transmittal advice is Kunti. Recognizing her frailty, please remove my affection for the Pandavas and Vrishnis. No, if you wanted, if one didn't understand that properly, it sounds like, well, you know, well, Lord Chaitanya was Lord Chaitanya, but Kunti was Kunti, and she said, you know, trash these people. That's not what she said. You know, break to pieces any affection that I have for my sons and for my father. Trash it and pulverize it and, you know, take it away altogether. That's not what she's saying. So how to deal with one's immediate family members has a lot to do with coming to the transcendental platform. If one wants to do so properly. And not properly directed, it's bondage to illusion, bondage to another birth, and go through the whole thing all over again. And all that. Oh no. Better learn our lesson. Jitendriya. Not exactly. Yeah, red carpet. Kind of like a skin disease? Yeah, I've heard that one before. Hari Sori was sharing with me something that I didn't know was going on, that Prabhupada had some finances set aside for some of his children. Although he was a sannyasi, he was looking after the well-being of his children. And, you know, it was private, but it was something that he was personally seeing to. You know, although, so he's writing this and doing that. It doesn't mean, you know, it was duplicity or cheating or something, but he was doing in a dutiful way, not on a platform of attachment. And he had a special, as the father of his children, he had a special duty to play, which he was doing, even though he was a sannyasi. Oh, they sure did. It was a case in court where, I don't know the detail, but the essence of it is that the son inherits the property of the father, so the son was saying, I'm entitled to all of the property of ISKCON. And he was serious about it. And so it got settled with a, you know, settlement, financial settlement. Anything over here? Okay. Okay. Uh-huh.
your wife hearing?
Okay. You got it. Well, let's go a little bit more than that, because the relationship with Sati and Lord Shiva, you know, she's lined up. She's not, you know, running around somewhere doing something, ignoring him. But even more, it's submission, because that's the part that's missing. She knows, but she's saying something else instead. She knows what his teaching is. She knows what his mood is. She knows what his desire is. She knows what's best in the situation, what he would say is best in the situation. And still she wants something else. That's the problem. It's a good relationship. She still wants something else. Not a bad relationship. It's a wonderful relationship. But she wants something else. Which has consequences. So, you know, turn it around the other way. You're a husband, or each of us has some responsibility for others, and how do you deal with a situation where you know the person knows better and still they want something else? You know, being in the Lord Shiva role, or being the proper director of those who are one's dependents. And it gets very delicate. But you don't want to, but you, on the other hand, you don't want to do that either. You don't want to say yes, you don't want to say no. Sometimes no is necessary. And sometimes, so it's not, when we read through this, the decision that Lord Shiva takes shouldn't automatically be a permissive position in all circumstances when somebody wants to do something where you know better, and you know that they know better, and they still want it. It's not, a rubber stamp, okay, be permissive. And let all hell break loose so they can learn the hard way. That's not, in this particular circumstance, that's what's going to happen. Lord Shiva is going to be offended. She's going to take great exception that Lord Shiva is offended, and hell break loose. To be continued. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.